and Al is an engineer. Hello, fellow Rivetiers. I am Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, and I am reviewing just after the first episode of Series 9 for the new Robot Wars. And it was an okay episode in the end. There were some massive destructive performances, but there were also some rather tactical performances in there as well. And the two of them did complement quite nicely, but it wasn't quite the same as Series 8. So I'm going to go through each battle as quickly as I can. There's quite a lot to get through. But before that, I want to point out the doodad. The doodad that selects the Rogue House Robot or the Pit option. And Dara called it the doodad, so I'm going to call it that, and I love it. So, also, how on earth do they choose which robots go into which heats? Is it random number generator? Is it a raffle? And how on earth do they choose which way the doodad goes? Is someone behind it just moving it left or right? Is there a random number generator for that as well? Who knows? And now, so we come on to the first battle where Jonathan Pierce says, Matilda, swipe left. To which I reply, someone find her Tinder account because she was incredible tonight. For one outing, she knocked out nuts out of the park. That's the first time we've seen that flywheel do some actual damage. So she's finally looking pretty powerful. And so is Aftershock. Good gravy, but I'll come on to that battle in a second. Rapids looked pretty promising, and so did Terahertz to begin with. And they walked their first battle fairly quickly. And then we had Tomahawk and Cranky being taken to pieces by Sabretooth and Aftershock, respectively, both spinners, so that was kind of expected, really. Tomahawk didn't have enough armor, and Cranky, really, well, the same, sadly. Given the pedigree and heritage, which I've mentioned before on this podcast, about his relationship to Pussycat and Bodyhammer, that's a real shame for Cranky to go down like that, especially when he took out Razor in the last series, which chalks up another win for Pussycat, in a way. There we go. So now, coming on to the group stages. Firstly, it was Terahertz versus Sabretooth. This ended up being crucial towards the end. So we had Terahertz early on doing some big hits, but then Sabretooth managed to take out the armored tail of Terahertz, which knocked off all its balance and all that power. The axe was just lost from Terahertz after that. Sabretooth managed to get underneath, and there was smoke from Terahertz as a result of that attack because they were both pushing so hard. And finally, the battle went the way of Sabretooth, but Sabretooth's weapon stopped working. And yes, Sabretooth had to resort to using the Rogue House Robot. It could have been the Pit option there, so God knows how the doodad works, but there we go. One of my favourite quotes of the night for the next battle was, Rapid, if we go out, it's our fault. That's a bit of a Occam's razor, that one. And they went up against Aftershock. And I initially thought Rapid was going to win because he had the weapon advantage, but it turns out that the flywheel on Aftershock works as a sort of shree mech, which is quite useful. And it's the first time we also saw a Cyclot in the arena, which was pretty cool. Rapid started well, but when he timed that flipper wrong, Aftershock just hit it and immobilized it almost immediately, which was a bit scary, to be honest. So that was over what looked like about 5 seconds on the TV. And to which I have said, immovable object meets some worn down titanium. And then we come up to Aftershock versus Sabretooth. And somehow Sabretooth got completely ripped to pieces here. And I don't know what to say, really, because Sabretooth just got ripped to shreds. And somehow they came back to be rebuilt for the next fight. Although I should add as well, yes, Angela got beaten by a shared autonomy robot of some... Well, not a shared autonomy robot, but a robot that can learn in a game of Connect 4, which we've seen recently, the Go champion of the world being beaten by computers for the first time last week, which some people argue is a scary use of technology and how rapidly it's evolving and should be really scared of artificial intelligence. The next battle was meant to be Rapid versus Terahertz, but Rapid had to be replaced by Jellyfish because their design was so complicated they couldn't actually fix it in time. There's only 2 hours to fix it, so that's pretty shocking to realize that these robots are so over-engineered that they just can't get fixed in time. And it's actually a fairly strict time limit. It may sound like a lot, 2 hours, but for an engineer, that's actually not very long. Terahertz, he didn't have to do very much. Jellyfish just one or two hits and knocked bits out of Jellyfish there. Then it was Aftershock versus Terahertz. My goodness, this was interesting. Aftershock ate into the armors of Terahertz. Although Aftershock got trapped by Shunt, some poor driving there could have cost him. But when Terahertz got a little bit of air from the flipper, Aftershock just added to it and made him fly. That was a good moment for the cameras. Terahertz, though, had some excellent driving from their driver, but finally Aftershock put in a huge hit against Terahertz, and after that they couldn't self-ride. So it was all down to Sabretooth versus Jellyfish, and Sabretooth just had to win. If Jellyfish could knock him out in the combat without going to judge decision, they would go through to the final against Aftershock. I'm not sure if they wanted to at that point, because they somehow managed to fix that drum. And I didn't realise at the time, maybe I missed it, but Jellyfish was actually using magnets to as part of its grabbing weapon. But it just didn't have enough traction in those wheels to make any use of it, like tough as nails. There was also tactics involved in this battle between Sabretooth and Jellyfish, and Sabretooth was eventually able to get some hits in, but they were both very slow, and they managed to get stuck on each other, basically on the pit. So I had to go to the judges. Jellyfish, they felt, was the better robot on control, damage, and aggression, which seems a bit odd considering they couldn't score any wins for weapon for damage. So that's a surprise to me that they scored so well on control and aggression that they actually won the fight. It was split 2-1 though, so I guess it was very close. So with that, that meant Aftershock running away with the lead there, 9 points, and Sabretooth 3 points tied to Terahertz on 2 points. But because they won their head-to-head battle, Sabretooth went through, faced them. It didn't take very long, this really. Aftershock hit Sabretooth hard and pretty much immobilized after Sakilok grabbed Sabretooth after the first hit. Aftershock made sure of victory when Sabretooth moved a little bit. And it was interesting to see that they were concerned with powering down. They had so much power that they actually tried to power down before the timer was up. So that's an interesting thing to note. So my conclusion, Aftershock has so much power, and it's a very well-designed robot. But it looks like they might actually have too much power, as they nearly burnt out their batteries. They are one of my predictions, so I'm very happy to see them go through. I like to think all my predictions will get to the final, don't I? The presentation style is becoming even more public, with more public access on backstage. You see the crowd, for example, gathering around the robots when they interview them. I don't know if they're all the public or if they're just other roboteers. So I'm not sure if that's going to be, if that is a help or a hindrance for the roboteers. They'll have to give their own views on it at some point. So that's my review of the first episode. It's a lot nicer to just talk than to have to write it all down like I did in my last blog on my own personal blog. So I've been Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, slightly terrified of Aftershock, and I will see you soon. And thank you for listening.